Hello, everyone, and welcome to the KoopaCast, PureNintendo.com's official audio podcast. This is episode 101, Breath of the Wild, Part 2. I decided that instead of having you all slog through what could be a 2 to 3 hour of a single episode, I would split it all up and kind of give you readers a break. I'm your host, Matt, and today I'm joined by Editor-in-Chief Justin Sharp.
Hey, everyone.
And Writer-Editor Harrison Melfeld.
Hey.
And some of you keen-eye observers may have noticed that Trev has disappeared, leaving only a mysterious note containing his thoughts on Breath of the Wild, which I will read here on this very podcast.
Wait, he turned into a note?
No, he left a note.
Yeah, he left a note. The way you said that, it's like, it's like, wow, that's some impressive power.
He wants me to sound... He wants me to make him sound cool. That was what he sent me over Slack. But I'm not going to do that. And instead, I'm just going to kind of read what he wrote. So, here we go. All right. Now, Trev says, it's time for Zelda to take a crack at a full sci-fi. Breath of the Wild blended futuristic elements with fantasy, but let's see the next entry go even further. The Triforce should be computer chips, as originally planned. Maybe Ganon should be an evil alien. Link could ride a spaceship instead of a horse and wield the master lightsaber. These are all things he actually wrote. So don't worry, I'm not embellishing anything like that. Okay. I asked him where Zelda ranks on his list. He says that not enough time has passed for him to properly rank it, so he's going to see how it holds up on replay. Right now it's top 5 for him, so there you go. But he said, the honeymoon has ended. All right, so that was Trev. Oh, and Trev also wanted me to tell you readers out there to please send any additional comments to questionblock@yournintendo.com.
Nice, yeah.
So there you go. Now, Trev didn't write anything spoilerific in his final thoughts, but... What we will be talking about for here on will be. So, if you are sensitive to spoilers and have not finished Breath of the Wild, please turn off the podcast and come back another time. We promise we won't hate you for it. So, without further ado, let's get started in 3, 2, 1, and spoilers start. So, the last time we left off, we were about to storm the gates of Hyrule Castle and kind of talk about this final dungeon and the fighting this final boss. And right off the bat, I want to say that Hyrule Castle felt much more like a dungeon, like the traditional dungeon, than any of the Divine Beasts have. You know, even if there weren't any, like, real proper puzzles to this. Otherwise it had, like, the locked room, where you had to defeat the enemy to move on, and it had some walls that you had to bomb, and that was pretty much like the extent of how to get past X room. But it still felt like this dungeon, because it still felt like a labyrinth, and you explored, and it was kind of closed in. So what did you guys think of Hyrule Castle?
I think I got to that point, you know, when I was, like, putting off this, like, you know, finishing this game for so long between, you know, just outside things, like, whether it's work or, you know, other day-to-day things. And, of course, that goes against the concept of Switch. It's like, hey, Harry, you can take it with you. Yes, I could, but let's just say a Switch is no place for inside of a restaurant when you're in the back. But I digress. I know I agree with you. It did feel a little more like an actual dungeon to me out there, and I didn't really go through every nook and cranny into it. I mean, the only thing I went through it was to get the Hylian shield, which, you know, I'm leading up to it, they said, like, yeah, it's going to be a little hard to, you know, be, to acquire this, whatever. And then at that point, I was like, oh, I took down the thing that was actually guarding that whole thing. So that was all good. But thank goodness I had that shield, though. That came in handy. So, I mean, God forbid if I break that thing, too. I don't know one of the links to actually get it back again. But I did appreciate basically the lead up to the castle, which itself was just, you know, this ruined, desiccated portion of, you know, Castle Town, everywhere around, like, the whole, like, Hyrule Castle that I, yeah, it just felt terrifying itself, whatever, because, and it felt daunting, because you had just dozens upon dozens of, like, guardian just spread out across, like, the area of just, yes, just, taking the, last guard of it. So, I found a way to actually get into the castle, which was one of those four pillars that are on the side, and I just found a way to just jump my way up to the top, and I used Revali's Gale, and I just loaded in. That's how I did. So that was my trek into it, and I'll explain a little bit more what I thought about it after I, because I know Justin wants to share his thoughts.
Yeah, I kind of did something similar when I first tackled the castle. I kind of headed up, you know, I was like, oh, I'll just go right across the drawbridge and, you know, kind of storm the gates right off the bat. I didn't try to find any sort of secret entrance or anything. And I was able to survive all the way up there. Didn't have any issues. I was just kind of dodging some of the guardian turrets and different things. And basically, I was able to make my way up past the waterfall, ended up stopping by Zelda's study there, grabbing that memory, and then headed up to the room where the battle with Ganon, Calamity Ganon, was set to go down. And really, so my experience with Hyrule Castle was not seeing much of it as a dungeon. Now, I did, later on, I went back and did some more exploring and found the Hylian Shield, the Stalnox, and, you know, explored a little bit more, and the mine card, and, you know, some different things there. It definitely felt more like a dungeon than the other Divine Beasts, but, you know, it still lacked those puzzles that I really look for in a dungeon. And I don't know, there was one thing that was kind of, I don't know, jarring about exploring the castle, is you couldn't really tell where you had been. You know, previous Zelda games, you have a compass and a map, and, you know, it kind of lights up rooms once you've explored them. And in this, I mean, granted, they kind of want you to explore, but it would be nice if I could, you know, kind of mark things off the map as I'm going, like, okay, I've explored this room, I found a treasure chest here, okay, I'm moving on. You know, there's just, it's such a large area that, I don't know, it just felt a little daunting, but
that's one thing I forgot to ask on the first part of this, is what did everybody think about the map design of the dungeons? Because again, not really is what was the only thing I can compare it to, the first map system from Metroid Prime, but less that you can do with it aside from just changing basically things with the guard with the Divine Beast.
Yeah, I see. It was that I was immediately reminded of Metroid Prime as well, Harrison, because it was just that 3D kind of scan of Hyrule Castle, which I thought kind of made sense for the Divine Beast, maybe not so much for the castle itself. And definitely another thing I found odd was that when you discovered rooms and like the little text that shows up that says, "Oh, you're in the kitchen" or "You're in the ducks," some of those names would show up on the world map proper when you zoomed in on Hyrule Castle, but they wouldn't show up in the Hyrule Castle map. And I'm like, well, it doesn't really do me any good to know about the rooms when I'm not in Hyrule Castle.
Exactly. Because you can't access that the world map from inside the castle area.
This was something I felt like that could have, I mean, for a main portion that leads up to, you know, the final battle with Calamity Ganon, I mean, I appreciate the length and the, like, what it took to actually get to, you know, your destination, because as we were first told about this game, is like, yeah, you could technically go from the beginning of the Shrine of Resurrection and head there. You technically could, and I think some speedrunners have gotten to a chance to beat in under an hour. I could be wrong. But I had to look that up.
Yeah, a lot of the lengths that I've seen are somewhere between like 42 minutes and 44 minutes.
Yeah, I think that you still have to do the four shrines on the plateau, though.
Yeah, because you need to get that paraglider, because there's just currently they found no way down without the paraglider, so they need that. And yeah, of course, they need some of the shrine doohickeys. I don't know why I keep saying it. What were they called in your Sheikah slate? The runes. Sorry, runes.
Yeah.
Spirit orbs?
Runes.
Yeah, the game actually resets you. So if you are able to get down, like people have used stasis to like ride a door, or, you know, one of those steel things off the plateau. And even if they do land successfully off plateau before they complete those four shrines, the game will eventually reset them. So, you know, you can't really get into the castle. At least they haven't found a way.
I thought about something that would have been kind of cool if they would have did this, is you had the four divine beasts. What if it sounded like a little bit of a plot twist that there was another divine beast hidden underneath Hyrule Castle?
Would that be with I haven't heard anything about the DLC. Isn't that what the DLC is going to be, probably?
You know, that would not shock me in the slightest. I don't know. The DLC could possibly be something that's fleshing out more things of memories between Link and Zelda before, you know, or it could just be stuff that's a prologue after you finish the game.
Yeah. Well, did you get the final memory?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I got the final memory. I got the memory that was in Hyrule Castle, and then I went back to Kakariko Village, and I found the last memory where you saw those dead guardians at, which was right by the first stable that you go near.
Yeah, Fort Hateno.
Yes, you're right.
There is actually another ending sequence or memory once you unlock all of those memories and then beat Ganon.
Yeah, you're talking about the one that's past the end portion?
Yeah, where they're basically, is it Varuta is...
The Varuta broke down again, so they gotta go...
Yes. Oh yeah, that's it. That's basically it there. I'm assuming that's probably going to be expanded on DLC or something else. So,
yeah.
To piggyback off of the when you were in Zelda's study, here's one little detail in there that I really was happy they explained, is why Link is silent. If you go into Zelda's study, I believe it's or one of those rooms that's right by the one of those towers, and you just read through Zelda's diary, and it explains, you know, why Link is so nonverbal. And I actually have the quote here. It says, from Zelda's diary, it says, "When I finally got around to asking him why he's so quiet all the time, I could tell it was difficult for him to say, but he did. With so much at stake and so many eyes on him, he feels it's necessary to stay strong and silently bear any burden, a feeling I know all too well. It has caused him to stop outwardly expressing his thoughts and feelings." To me, I thought that did it well. I really, it, instead of just saying, like, he just doesn't talk.
Yeah, yeah, cool. Only I was polite and I didn't read her diary, so, you know.
Oh, I'm not polite. I read her diary. I read Paya's diary.
I'm like, you know, it's not worth it. I can't be rude in the video game.
Oh, no.
I wouldn't do this in real life. I wouldn't read the princess's diary.
I wouldn't find a guardian in real life either, but...
Yeah, that it's a post-apocalyptic Hyrule. It's like, wow, you have to save us all, but you better not read my diary. I'm like, okay.
That would have been a great cutscene. Like, you get that if you're reading through the diary. She's like, by the way, did you see a book in there? You didn't read it, did you?
That's right.
The one sentence that Link says is, "Excuse me, princess." I know that's usually that's a trying through one to say or cliche form, but seriously, if that was put in an in-joke or put in any serious tone, I would have loved it, but also I would have lost it. Talk about exactly that. All the Lynels, which I avoided.
You need to go fight some Lynels. Come back after you fought Lynels.
Is there something special about the fighting? I mean, aside from getting gear.
Yeah, I mean, if you get all if you get Lynel parts, you can upgrade. Like, do you have like the what do they call it? Like the beast armor or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I could go tackle back the lightning Lynel, the one that I first fought like near Zora's domain. I feel like I could go back up there and be like, okay, I beat a couple divine beasts, I think, and I'm upgraded. I think I could take him on.
He's gone.
He's gone?
Yeah. Because I tried to do the same. I was thinking the same thing with the Lynel that was supposed to be in the East Gate, out of Kakariko Village. And I'm like, I'm going to go kick that guy's butt. And then I like flew down, glided down from the mountain, exactly where he was. I saw the Lynel. I got ready. I saved just in case because, sorry, that's my habit. And I dropped down and I noticed, hey, that Lynel's a different color. Oh, man. So they just kind of replaced like all of the Lynels with the harder Lynels after you get pretty far in the game, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, the Lynels are not a specific mini boss necessarily, like the Hinoxes and the Moldugas and the Taluses. So you can get these medals later in the game for beating all of those three mini bosses. So there's several of them and they appear in specific locations, but the Lynels are, like Matt said, you know, just kind of get upgraded kind of like Bokoblins and Moblins and all that. And they can appear in different areas and, you know, aren't necessarily in set points.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh. That's you're cheeky, Nintendo. Wow. I was about to be like, yeah, I'm going to do this. No, here's a harder one.
Exactly. There is a really tough one in the Colosseum that I went and tackled, but
oh, I kicked his butt.
Yeah, there's some like I've seen it where that that's or so Silver Lynel, at least like the one in the Colosseum, can be elsewhere too. You know, I've seen them in different places. But...
Anyway, we should get back on topic. We're talking too much about Lynels and our killing of them. And we need to get to the final boss fight, which was, I felt, less difficult than fighting Lynels.
Yes, definitely. Mm. I was able to beat Calamity Ganon on the first try. The beast form of Ganon was a little more, he wasn't challenging so much. I mean, because he doesn't do a whole lot, but... I think it took me two or three tries just to get up in the air at the right time that the eyeball opened up on his forehead, just to get the arrow off at the right time. Because I would either run out of stamina and the arrow wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't be in slow motion when the arrow actually hit. And so I'd fall back to the ground or whatever. But yeah, otherwise it was not the... not the most exciting battle. And I don't know, I would have liked a little more. I know it's a bit on the nose to kind of have the villain like, oh, you know, you found me, but I'm going to destroy you, blah, blah, blah. At least have some sort of a dialogue with the main bad guy. But I don't know, like Ganon just felt like such an underdeveloped part of the game, especially when they build him up. Like, oh yeah, Calamity Ganon, blah, blah, blah. This is the first time. You know, we've seen this post-apocalyptic Hyrule, he's destroyed the world, blah, blah, blah. And there's no characterization to him whatsoever. There's no even mention of him having the Triforce or, you know, anyways.
Well, he didn't have the Triforce. Zelda had the Triforce.
Well, yeah. No, that was like, because the whole plot line, the whole thing was like her going into this role about she's not developing, you know, having the Triforce of Wisdom come to her, basically. And for your point out there, Justin, as far as characterization, as much as I would like it on there, it didn't really bother me that much. I mean, leading up to, I did kind of expect it, but basically for something that is just pure evil, as in an animal or just this thing that's just not very, this unbodily form of just of an abomination, I think that it works that way because it keeps the mystery of it. What I like some to it, but again, it's something, it didn't bother me that much. It just, the only thing I really will say from these two forms, this boss battle, yes, it wasn't that too difficult. But as far as design of what these things, like that first form on there, as far as like I mentioned, the first part in here was something I really liked. I'm like, okay, that's something new. But I think, again, it does probably reward you a little too much, though. When you defeat the divine beasts, you're able to knock off at least half of, like, you know, about half his health. And I'm assuming if you, whatever ones you don't beat, and you say if you face him without defeating the divine beasts, you technically face say Water Blight Ganon or Thunder Blight Ganon again or something like that. I could be wrong.
No, you're actually right. I kind of noticed that when I watched the speedrun. Like the guardians that you don't face in the dungeons or show up before you fight Calamity Ganon.
And that's almost more epic. Like, it just felt very lackluster. Like, it knocks off half his health. You're like, oh, okay, well.
Well, I thought it was like, well, the first time I fought it, I'm like, there was that huge explosion and it only knocked off half his health. This guy's gonna be really tough. Like, I was like going into it like really like intimidated.
Oh, like the other form. It's like, oh wow, you think like it wouldn't have been so bad at the beginning, but now that he's half, like, oh, this is about to get real, isn't it?
Yeah, like, oh, he's just angry now. And I did want to kind of like go back to like Harrison's point real quick about the characterization, or Justin's point. I can't remember which one you brought it up.
Justin was the one who brought up the saying that he wished there was more characterization or this like dialogue between like Calamity Ganon. And I said, as much as I would have liked that, I think what its first design, the fact that it's like, it's Ganon basically not, it's as just a powerful form, but a de-evolved personality as far as like of just pure evil.
Right.
That's what I think.
And I agree with that, and you know, forgive me for getting like a little bit nerdy about this, but for me, I kind of like that. Also, like, if you want to think about like the Legend of Zelda timeline, like from like Ocarina of Time all the way to like Breath of the Wild, where we are now,
mm-hmm.
like, you notice kind of Ganon got less human and more monstrous with each successful like game in the timeline. Like in the mm-hmm. beginning, he was like, you know, human, he was like Gerudo, and he could talk to you. And later on, he was like Pig Beast Ganon, but he could still talk to you, but he was like a beast. And now this time, he's just this monster of just like this rage and destruction. So it's like, you know, whatever human personality he had has like eroded over like...
the time, basically. Yeah,
exactly. And that, to me, like, I really liked that.
Yeah, that's... I guess we can talk about where this fits in the timeline later on. So it's... that's what I think like there. I mean, it's, I do wish there was a little bit more to it. Again, this doesn't knock down my overall enjoyment of this game. It really doesn't. I mean, to me, I felt like past other boss battles I saw, like between the dungeons, yes, this was better. It's just as far as a final boss, I didn't get as much difficulty out of it. I did die twice through it. When I got to the final beast form, which you rode on like horseback, and lo and behold, you have light arrows. I mean, I'm trying to, I need to, somebody needs to count how many times in Zelda final boss battles you use a light arrows. So
all of them?
Well, aside from Skyward Sword.
Oh, yeah.
Which he wasn't even in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Demise, true. Well, oh, and Wind Waker. Well, oh, no, Zelda has light arrows.
Never mind.
But overall, I got to that, and then little details, I did like the music for that one, so because I think when you sell that beast form, from what I read, and because usually when you defeated like Calamity Ganon or whatever, that would should have easily sealed him, but it didn't. But it's usually, I think I was reading something, he could have continued on the cycle reincarnation, but chose, nope, I'm going to this beast form, which if I'm reading into it, that cuts off the cycle or something. I read a Wikipedia. I read an entry about it because I wanted to read the plot line, and I read something. You guys talk, and I'll find it.
It was actually, I remember because Zelda said it when you chased after him.
Yeah.
So Zelda actually said it herself when you kind of chased after Ganon after he kind of dissolved from his Calamity form, and you find yourself in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And Zelda was like, Ganon has given up resurrection to obtain this beast form. And, you know, if it's allowed to be unleashed on the world, it will cause untold destruction.
So, if we're led to believe, then does that break the cycle? Which, if I'm leaning a theory to, this is near the end of the timeline? I don't know. It's we can discuss more about that later. But it's, I don't know, it's that little detail to me. I'm just like, huh. I wonder how much get to it. I mean, it's for a series that's so whimsical, we just, Zelda fans and even any type of fans out there just love to go over the tiniest little details in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I adore about it.
Yeah. But
I I did like, though, at the beginning of the boss battle, though, the little cinematic with all the champions. I really did like those bits on there. And that's where I felt like some of the voice acting shined, even though it was only a few sentences.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Mm-hmm. But it, but again, for me, that lead up in the cutscene kind of set me up for like a letdown in the actual boss fight. Sorry, I haven't like actually voiced my opinions on the boss fight, so I'm going to right now.
Go.
I was definitely disappointed. Like, I felt like if you stuck like two or three Lynels in an open field and I had to face them, that would be more difficult of a boss fight than Calamity Ganon was. Like, once you figured out his game, which is the, you know, dodge and then attack perfectly, which is what you kind of do with like almost every single boss. Like, there wasn't like any kind of puzzle element. There wasn't like an aha moment fighting him. It was, you know, fight Calamity Ganon like you fought any other enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it got to Beast Ganon, and the way Zelda was going on, and he shoots that giant laser out, I'm like, oh, this is going to be so hard. I can't wait to figure out how I do it. And then, you know, you're just shooting giant targets with light arrows.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, that might as well have been the archery contest in Ocarina of Time, where you're riding on your horse and shooting pots.
That's your comparison? Okay.
Like, yeah. I mean, I'm sorry to sound so hyperbolic about it and so negative about it, but that's what it felt like to me, because it was like, Zelda's like, use these light arrows. And I'm like, oh, maybe I have to figure out, you know, maybe there's like a little tiny point you would see. But these giant targets up here, it's like, you really can't miss this one, Link. It's right there. And, you know, after all of that, like, you know, dying and suffering and trying to figure out puzzles and stuff like that and combat, and to have it all culminate into shoot these giant targets on the side of a pig. Good job. You're a hero, Link.
Do you think it would have been kind of neat if they would have taken a page out of, like, say, Shadow of the Colossus, and you had to jump onto the beast or whatever? Like, it's basically destroy. It's like, all right, I'm in this beast form. I'm going to destroy basically everything in this land as far as my eye can see once and for all.
Yeah.
And you scale it, and you basically have to just climb and traverse it, whatever. And, you know, it could have enemies on top of it or something like that. And, okay, frankly, the way I'm going right now, it's definitely going to be a blatant ripoff of Shadow of the Colossus, and you just drive the Master Sword into him.
Yeah.
Like, say whether it's, yeah, that to me, I'm like, I'm thinking that could have been a nice little lead up to it, because it puts together, you know, hey, climbing's a good portion into it, or you use your horseback combat, whatever, to actually jump on this thing.
And so, it gives the Master Sword much more meaning than it did before.
Yeah, I think if you had a third phase to the Ganon battle, you know, so you shoot that eye or whatever, maybe he, you know, falls down on the ground, you hop on top of him or whatever, and then you're cutting, you know, bits of malice off of him as you're going, or maybe he's like rampaging around the world at that point. So you're literally like traversing the world and he's cruising up mountains or, you know, whatever, all the while you're slashing, and then you get up to his forehead and you drive the sword into him or whatever. I don't know, something could have made it a little more epic, I think.
Or a lot more epic, like,
yeah.
I'm already way more excited about this thing that doesn't exist than the final boss.
Maybe as we get older, we've played all these Zelda games, like, we, you know, I'm sure I built up expectations a lot higher in my head, and that's why I was a little disappointed, but things in my head just sound like, oh, I wish it was that, but
I mean, it felt like it should have been that or something like that, simply because of the way the game goes, but also because, like, previous Zelda conventions and kind of, like, the trend, like, what the trend was in, like, the last few Zelda games. Like how did the last, like, few 3D Zeldas end? You know, you have, like, a one-on-one confrontation with Ganondorf. With Wind Waker, it was the same with Twilight Princess, with Skyward Sword. Well, you know, it was Demise instead of Ganondorf, but you get the idea. You were, like,
It's a sword fight.
It's a one-on-one sword fight. You know, you feel like the odds are stacked against you. You know, this guy's huge, but, you know, you still feel like you can kind of take him. You know, and then you got that sense of, like, finality. Like, oh, this is really it. This is how it's going to end. It's just, like, this great showdown. And the fact that it didn't have it in Breath of the Wild was just so, so disappointing on my end.
Yeah.
And red.
I think you summarized it well.
Yeah, that's really to it. But does it take away from her enjoyment of this overall experience? The answer is, heck no.
It kind of did for me, actually.
Yeah. I would say it. Like overall, when I look back on Breath of the Wild, and maybe I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but the bosses, the dungeons, the lack of feel for, you know, previous Zelda games, and you know, and it's hard to separate that. You know, I have such a history with the Zelda series. You know, in my review, I tried to separate that more. You know, try not to have all of the tropes and the baggage of all the Zelda games factor too much into my review score, because the game is still pretty awesome. I mean, very awesome, exquisite. But as far as like my personal gut feeling, I'm disappointed with those main aspects that I usually love in Zelda games. And I, you know, for expectation wise, I probably didn't manage my expectations very well. You know, I came in thinking that this looked like the best Zelda game ever. And I wanted it to be my favorite Zelda game. But I think, you know, those elements that it falled short for me on were too big. I don't think I'll be revisiting it anytime soon.
The boss battle or just the game?
The dungeons, the bosses in the dungeons, and then the final boss battle. There was just like a combination of all of that. I don't play Zelda games for the collecting, even a whole lot of the exploring. You know, so once I beat the game, like I didn't see a whole lot of incentive to come back. But that's just me. You know, the Zelda series has so many different types of players, and I think that Breath of the Wild appeals to a lot of those. But I think you're going to have a fairly big divide on, you know, people are going to be like, well, I wish it did have a little more conventions of the Zelda series. And then some people are like, no, I want it to be open world, you know, collect-a-thon, you know, mini dungeons all the way. Part of me will be a little sad if that's what it goes to.
The way I could possibly... The way this is going to be remembered, though, is essentially the series' second rebirth. The first being Ocarina of Time, and much like you would say with Mario 64, is when that was a series that transitioned from 2D to 3D. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, with this one was revising those conventions. The only other, aside from Mario, I mean, probably the only other franchise I can think that actually did that leap where it took the series conventions and flipped it not only in its dimensions, but in its gameplay, you know, was from Super Metroid to Metroid Prime. I mean, when you took something that was a side-scrolling, you know, action game, action adventure, and you flipped it into being a first-person adventure game. To me, people would say that would never was going to work, but the glass proven wrong to it. And that's what I'm going to remember Breath of the Wild for, is the amount of what you can do in this whole world, and just the fact that there will be no two playthroughs, like no playthrough will ever be the same. That's why I say it.
So this actually brings up a good point. That is one of the talking points I was going to ask you guys was, you know, where do you think the Zelda series should go from here? Do you think it's going to go into like a more like we're going to see more derivatives of Breath of the Wild where it's going to be like this open world, but, you know, new elements are going to be added to it? Or do you think we're going to see like the 3D Zeldas go back to, you know, maybe the more traditional conventions? And should they? Should they go one way or should they go another way?
I think you're going to see them embrace this open world design in the future. The gameplay, and, you know, don't get me wrong, you know, when I mentioned disappointment on the dungeons and all that, you know, the gameplay and the possibilities, the discovery that they did in Breath of the Wild is fantastic. You know, it's just, I don't necessarily think that should be the only path moving forward. I almost see Breath of the Wild as like a resetting point. You know, like you said, a rebirth of the series, but it almost like, it makes it accessible for newcomers to come into the franchise. And I don't know, I feel like they built up, think about all the unique items and gameplay mechanics that 3D Zeldas have developed since Ocarina of Time, right? You know, hook shots, double hook shots, you know, all these different elements that and unique items that other games don't really touch on in their gameplay. All of that was kind of reset. You still have some physics-based items with the runes and Breath of the Wild, but I feel like Nintendo went to like, hey, let's do a simplified gameplay experience that allows for more variety, you know, and kind of endless possibilities, but let's limit the amount of unique items. And I think you're going to see them kind of build on that. Unfortunately, I hope that it doesn't take that long, because I would like to see a marriage of Breath of the Wild and a traditional peak 3D Zelda. Give me those dungeons, give me those unique boss battles, more items, hook shots, different things like that. Bring those two together and I'll be fine.
I think that's what's going to happen. Like I said, there's great ideas in this. Phenomenal ideas in this.
Oh, yeah.
And when as far as the great ideas, I like the fact the dungeons were these machines. I like that concept. Those could have been fleshed out more in terms of puzzles and maybe as far as boss battles. The voice acting was good, it was acceptable. It was acceptable. Nothing that's going to basically be nominated for voice actor awards. But again, that's not slouch against the voice actors and actresses on there. I thought they did a commendable job on there, even if I felt like some of the line reading was a little bit off, but that's just the script. But that's the thing. Once you see with a new installment like this, there's room for improvement. Maybe you put new dungeons in here. Maybe you cut back on the shrines or add more. Maybe you add new weapons, like, say, the hookshot, or you take derivatives of that idea and then you expand upon them or change them up. And but again, that's who knows when we're going to get another 3D Zelda like this. I mean, yes, they have the engine right there to work with, but I'm in the camp, though. I feel like that Zelda, as I said, take a break for a while. That's me.
Yeah, and I feel like, they can definitely, I'm not closing the book on Breath of the Wild, I'm never going to play it again or whatever, I'm not that sort of reaction to it, but I feel like they can kind of, I would be happy if they took this DLC model, right, that they're doing with Breath of the Wild and, use that opportunity to add. They said they're going to add a dungeon in the second DLC pack later this year, right?
Uh-huh.
Let that be a proper dungeon or something that gives, some glimpse of what we're used to seeing in a dungeon and, maybe have DLC for the next 2, 3, 4 years. I wouldn't mind, if we didn't see like what if we saw something kind of like Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask. Those released 2 years apart. And you think about that nowadays, Zelda games are 5, 6 years apart now. It's kind of unheard of to have two very different, 3D Zeldas kind of back to back. So if they can do some cool DLC stuff in the world of Breath of the Wild, make a dark world or a low rule type of version of the world in Breath of the Wild, add a bunch of different elements, exploring underground or underwater, different things. I mean, they can really build on this world and just make it deeper and deeper and deeper. And then potentially Breath of the Wild becomes the best Zelda game ever. Incorporating all those, dungeon elements, those new items and whatever else. And then maybe in 4 years' time, what culminates is this, amazing content game, greater than we've ever seen, that's marrying this amazing gameplay, and then all of the other Zelda tropes, or not all of them, but some of the cool things from the dungeons and bosses, at least.
All right. I do agree with you guys. I think Breath of the Wild is going to be like this new leaping off point for future 3D Zelda titles. I think the top-down Zeldas will still exist in some form in the future, like as their own separate thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Breath of the Wild is going to affect that at all. But yeah, definitely 3D Zeldas, we're going to see more Breath of the Wild. And I agree with you, Justin. I want to see some underwater stuff, Bring Me Underground, you guys kind of did the basic stuff with like on foot in the field. That's great. Let's go exploring. Let's go to other lands. Mm-hmm. And that's what, you know, kind of what I really want with the series. What I'm secretly hoping though, is that we're going to see that because Breath of the Wild is like analogous to the very first Legend of Zelda, clearly the next game is going to be analogous to Adventure of Link.
So you're saying it's just going to be like, hey, what do we do? You know that time we actually did with a sequel to Legend of Zelda? Yeah, where we just, when we actually made it like a side scroller and just basically a borderline RPG. Yeah, let's just do that.
Yep, that's pretty much what they're going to do. And you're going to have experience points and everything.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You know, you mentioned, you know, the analogy to the original Zelda. I almost see more similarities to Adventure of Link in Breath of the Wild. Mostly because, I mean, Nintendo mentioned that Adventure of Link, they wanted it to be a more action-based game. And that was kind of why they went with that 2D side-scroller. They get more detailed with the combat. And I kind of see that in Breath of the Wild because they really focused on gameplay elements, you know, these flurry rush and different things, and then, you know, climbing and all these. Obviously, you have a bunch of traversal gameplay elements that go way above and beyond what Adventure of Link was doing. But I don't know, it's kind of more action-oriented, less on dungeons, because, you know, the original Zelda has, you know, some fairly good dungeons, obviously some, you know, reused bosses, you know, as mini bosses and later dungeons, but I don't know. I can see elements of the first two Zeldas in Breath of the Wild, at least.
Yeah. So another point I was going to bring up, and Justin, you got very close to bringing it up, and then you kind of pulled away, and I got a little bit sad. But what I want to know is where Breath of the Wild kind of fits into your ranking. Like, where does it rank in your list of top Zeldas? And I think I know where Justin is, so I'm going to kind of build up anticipation with that. So, Harrison, I'm going to ask you first.
It's in my top three.
Top three? Like, where do you know we're in the top three? Do you have a solid position yet?
That I don't know. My top three is A Link to the Past and Majora's Mask. And I have only beaten about, what was it? I'm going to assume maybe it's like 20% of collective things that I've explored the area. I still have some areas to explore and some towers to actually get to. And I was, again, so enamored by the whole experience that because it's like, wow, this is the change that Zelda needed. You know, this is what it did, the combination of whether Western influences and influences from Eastern developers too. It was a nice marriage of ideas that really is something that, I've been wanting from 3D Zelda games for a long time. And this is coming from somebody who enjoyed Skyward Sword and who actually enjoyed its motion controls. But yeah, it's in my top three. Where it fits, it could be three, it could be two, it could be one. I know that's a BS way of like teasing you right now, but I don't know. It's in my top three.
Hey, that's fine. I mean, Trev also said that he doesn't feel comfortable putting any solid point on the list. So, you know, I'm fine with that. Justin.
Yeah, like Trevor said, I think that, you know, time will tell, and I'll probably ruminate on it a little bit more as time goes on, as DLC comes out and that sort of thing. But as it stands right now, I don't see Breath of the Wild in my top five, really.
Can you run down your top five real quick?
Yeah, I mean,
do we get some music? Do we get some music with this top five?
I'll add some in post.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, I guess in no specific order, like, well, see, in ranking Zelda games is a hard thing because, you know, what's your favorite 2D Zelda? What's your favorite 3D Zelda? You know, and Breath of the Wild is almost like this third pillar that's now, you know, trying to, to peek up, that's like, hey, I'm a 3D Zelda, but I'm a little different, you know, than everything else. But yeah, I would say my top five would include Minish Cap, Link's Awakening, Skyward Sword, Twilight Princess, and Ocarina of Time. those are kind of my, that's my ballpark of the ones that I really like. Link's Awakening being kind of, and Minish Cap kind of being my favorites of the unique Zeldas, you know, Majora's Mask and some of those that are just kind of quirky characters, but fun, fun elements to them. Short but sweet, I guess, could be a category for those. Ocarina of Time is just fantastic. I feel like Twilight Princess kind of perfected that formula, the Ocarina of Time setup. And Skyward Sword, I really enjoyed Skyward Sword's motion controls, like Harrison said. I know that that's kind of a 50-50 divide amongst people who have played Skyward Sword, maybe even more people that don't like it. But I did enjoy the motion controls and I enjoyed Skyward Sword. I did not like the last boss. I did not like Demise in Skyward Sword, but there were several boss fights that were, you know, some of my favorite bosses of any Zelda game. Same thing with dungeons in Skyward Sword. But I mean, as far as Breath of the Wild, the reason why I would not put it in my top five is it really comes down to those core elements, the core reasons of why I play a Zelda game. Puzzles in dungeons, whether finding a dungeon or, you know, unique puzzles around moving water. Like I must be a glutton for punishment because I love water temples. I love anything that's, you know, shifting water around a dungeon and figuring out how to raise the level and do different things. I think that's really cool, just figuring that out. But I don't know, since Breath of the Wild did not have those unique challenging bosses that I love in Zelda games and unique puzzle. I mean, there weren't even really enemies to fight in the Divine Beasts in Breath of the Wild. So, and most of my highlights with Breath of the Wild were the discovery, and that's great, but that's not why I play a Zelda game. That's why I may play, you know, a Witcher or something like that, you know, just exploring a world. But to me, Breath of the Wild is not my favorite Zelda game, or top five, or, you know, maybe even beyond that. It's a really great game. I just don't consider it high up there in my Zelda games. So I don't know. I feel like I'm not trying to be super critical, but like I've really struggled with this, guys, over the last couple weeks.
Really? Because the conversation we had a week ago, it sounded like you were pretty quick on telling me that Breath of the Wild was not in your top five.
Well, so the reason I've struggled with it is I don't like that conclusion. Like I really wanted to like this game, guys. Like I mean, Katie.
The way you're described is like I really wanted to like this game. The way you say that right now, it makes it look like you gave this like a 7 out of 10, which was a fine.
I know, like when it sounds really bad, like and the game is still fantastic, and I don't want to discourage listeners, you know, like that, you know, everyone's saying it's good. Why is it not good? You know, it's still a fantastic game. It just did not resonate with me. And I've been like pseudo depressed the last couple of weeks, just because I don't want to keep playing it. I don't have that desire to go back to it right now. So I've kind of like, well, I just need to, you know, get away from it for a little bit and then maybe revisit with DLC. But I don't know.
I like that you're depressed. Like I can picture you kind of, you've got like a wine glass in your hand. You're taking a long, hard stare out your window of your house. Yeah, it's like, just raining. You're like, why?
Well, it's funny because I'm and depressed is a super strong word, of course. But and like you guys know me, I'm fairly happy-go-lucky, and
yeah, you know, like you were honestly wrestling with this decision.
Yeah. Like it's funny that I should be so downtrodden on a video game, right? How silly of, you know, of people to, you know, get depressed over that, or, you know, get down about it. But
not at all. Like, that's why I like, you know, all the people in this company, like we all have these completely different opinions, yeah. Whether it's you liking Skyward Sword and Water Temples and me just absolutely disliking Skyward Sword and most of the elements in it.
Mm-hmm. I think we can find a silver lining here. So let's get back to happy Justin, and you know, let's get some positivity out of this. What I do love about Breath of the Wild, I agree with Harrison that this is exactly what the Zelda series needed. Zelda is not the best-selling franchise for Zelda, really, or for Nintendo. I think it needed a shot in the arm.
It still sells well. I mean, it's not like it's not up there with its Marios or even its Pokemons, but for something like this, you can always count on Zelda games to sell around, if I did say an average of, I don't know, like 5-6 million copies.
But I do think people were getting worried, and like maybe the more latest batch of Zelda games, whether you know, and I'm sorry, whether it was Skyward Sword.
Sword did not sell.
Yeah, I think it was like 3 million, but that it was the tail end of that. That definitely released at that point of the Wii's life cycle where it was going downhill. Yeah. So
and then we saw like Triforce Heroes, which not a lot of people kind of dug into at all.
Yeah.
Like kind Link of those two Worlds games and the like. Well. Yeah, Link Between Worlds, like I think for a lot of people was the like a glimmer of hope, for fans of the Zelda longstanding fans of the Zelda franchise, where they're like, oh, we're finally kind of getting back to what we loved about it, which is the exploration, kind of the difficulty, the sense of adventure, and we're getting away from spending 5 minutes talking to a sword.
Yeah, but I will say though, even despite these things, the name still carries a lot of weight. Just the Zelda name. I mean, it's up there, especially Mario in terms of like naming Nintendo franchise. You know those two right at the top of your head.
Yeah, and I think this gets it out even more so. You know, people that hadn't considered, like some of my friends that play on Xbox and PlayStation almost exclusively are like, hey, I need to get a Switch. I've been hearing really good things about the Zelda game. So, there's a lot of positive buzz around Breath of the Wild and a lot of interest in that, people see the gameplay of Breath of the Wild that may never have even played a Zelda game. And they're like, wow, I didn't know you could do this type of stuff in a video game. The physics-based puzzles and the, climbing everything. Like, there's just a lot of stuff that they did really well, better than any other game that's ever come out. So Breath of the Wild should be commended for that. What I was going to say, just to kind of, put a bow on it, is I love the Zelda series because there's such incredible diversity with its fans. You can talk to anyone and they'll give you almost, if you say, give me your top 5 Zelda games, I guarantee you ask 100 people, you may get 100 different answers. It's just a very diverse group of fans. We often joke that the last Zelda game that has come out is the best because, people have had 5 years to think about it and they're like, oh yeah, that actually was pretty good, The most recent one's always the worst because people, like things in hindsight, but Breath of the Wild's a little different, I think, but anyways, I just love the fans. I love the Zelda series. I love talking about the Zelda game, so I appreciate you letting me rant, and yeah, so I'm done now.
That's fine. We gave you a forum to do it, so I'm glad you came on and ranted.
I needed it. I needed to.
Yeah, you may step off the soapbox.
That's right.
I thought you were going to go into like a long defense of Skyward Sword again, which I was kind of looking forward to.
We've already got a couple Koopa casts.
We do have two whole podcasts dedicated to Skyward Sword and whether or not it is a good game.
Yeah. We should have had you on there, Harrison. I could have used some backup. So.
Oh, you could have definitely used it. I would have thrown a couple punches there about, like I said, Zelda's characterization, but the only thing I probably wouldn't be able to defend is an art style that is in flux with itself. And that's one thing I want to like about this, too, is they settled on an art style that I think is going to age well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, like, what was it? People were, like, arguing about, like, it was some meme I saw something on Twitter right around this release. It was like comparing basically about ReCore, about how they were people upset, like, oh, look, there's some little jaggies up there and the polygons out there. And it says, and it shows a screenshot of Breath of the Wild, like, oh, this is fantastic, 10 out of 10. And then everybody's response was, you realize that an art style is superior to like how much realism you can pull out. So that, I don't know, it's like a game. A game can look good if you have a great art style with it.
And I think that's why kind of like
art direction is one thing.
Direction, yeah.
And that's what Nintendo started going for, starting with Wind Waker. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we saw that we went back to Twilight Princess. They went for the, like, this darker, more realistic Zelda. But then they kind of, again, switched back when we got like this more impressionistic style of, or impressionistic backgrounds, I should say, in Skyward Sword. And like a more of a cartoony look for like Link and company.
Twilight Princess did not age well. I mean, the HD remake, the HD remaster did help, but you kind of the comparison I read from this was about what was popular at the time when that game was being released or when it was revealed. Lord of the Rings, a lot of fantasy epics were coming out. So that. When they what they thought that was their own realism to it, and yeah, back then it did look good, but as time went by, you're like, ooh, I mean, that's where a game like Wind Waker succeeded, because when you looked at it as a GameCube game, it's you realized how well it stood out.
All right, I think we pretty much got everything we wanted to get out of this Breath of the Wild podcast. And we're right around an hour, so that's good for me.
Yeah.
Oh. Good. Oh, I guess I didn't mention where Breath of the Wild fits in my top Zeldas.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you heathen! You better you just ruined the podcast.
Yep. Start over. We're gonna start over.
Start over.
But I mean, it's definitely tough. It definitely doesn't have a solid place, but it is definitely like top 3 or 4. In terms of like the Zelda games, Majora's Mask is definitely up there. Link's Awakening is up there. Wind Waker is up there. Skyward Sword is not up there. But yeah, between I think those four are just kind of like shuffling in and out. Oh, and Link to the Past, of course. Those five, yeah. So those five are like shuffling in and out of each other all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be Link to the Past as the greatest one day, and Wind Waker the next day, and Breath of the Wild the day after that. But I think Breath of the Wild is definitely going to stay up in my top 5 Zelda games. And I think it'll also be on like my top 25 games of all time for a long time.
Yep, I can see that.
And to think right now we still have a Mario game to come out this fall, and it's like...
The Mario game that I've wanted since 64.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
Now, if we only had Metroid.
Yeah, I know. That's where I'm all over that.
I'm trying to go back. Listeners in my other podcast, they keep claiming the same, like, to me, whatever, when rumors about a Metroid game were possibly going to be released, at, like, mentioned during the Switch presentation. Mm-hmm. I may have mentioned something how if I found out news, if a new Metroid was announced, I would rip my shirt off.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to find that audio so I can make sure that I can pretend like, did I say that? Because I really don't want to do that. Because I said, it doesn't matter what place, whether I'm at work, at a wedding, the shirt's going.
No,
the
you have to going. Do it. I have to eat a hat if there's a Mario versus Rabbids game that sells well.
It sells well. Oh.
Yeah, it's got to sell well. I'm not that crazy, but yeah. But
what define sell well? Like a million copies?
Like, they make a decent profit, and Nintendo sees fit to produce future iterations of the series.
Okay, so like,
it reviews well, it sells well, it's accepted well. There's no chance. It's not a snowball's chance. But there is a snowball's chance for Metroid. Like, let's look at Breath of the Wild. Nintendo, if you're listening to this, look at Breath of the Wild. That, but with Samus. That's pretty much what you've got the formula right there. You go anywhere, some places are harder, some places are easier, but you got Samus, and there's Metroids. It's easy. It's right there. It's right in front of your nose. Please look at that and do it.
Really, you could apply the Breath of the Wild formula to, like, Pokemon, you know, RPG. Their engine that they've developed, I think they could adapt and, you know, add to a lot of their series.
Well, that is the general, like, conventional wisdom is, like, that should be the idea to go to it, but knowing the Pokemon company and Nintendo, they're like, that sounds too smart to do it. We're just going to keep going this way.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, Pokemon's doing fine. Metroid is not.
Oh, and
Neil, Metroid. Do it.
Metroid, yeah, Metroid needs a good shot in the arm.
Yes,
yeah,
it does.
It's they're sitting on it and they need it.
The golden, like said, it's a golden
Zelda
egg.
And Metroid are my favorite franchises. I mean, as far as when it comes to Nintendo, those are my favorites out there. And oh boy, I'm gonna lose a. I really hope I'm not wearing my favorite shirt when that thing's when that game's announced. It's gonna be the most inopportune time. Like I said, I'm gonna be at a family event and I'm checking Twitter and I'm just like, slam my phone down and just go. And I'm like, what are you doing? This thing on Twitter I saw a game. I like. Why is everybody staring at me right now?
Now, hopefully it's like. I hope you're at work. You're in the bathroom. You're washing your hands. Suddenly you see a tweet, and you just rip your shirt off then and there, and then just walk out the door, all nonchalant, just but without a shirt.
The way you say it in a bathroom, though, I feel like that's gonna be that's a stone's throw away from maybe No, I don't know. I'm getting way too deep into. I could probably like, yeah. Wow.
No, I mean, there could be nobody in that bathroom. The point is, you walk into a room with a shirt, and then you walk out of the room, and there's no shirt, and nobody knows why.
So many wrong things possibly went in there.
Yeah.
Like, don't worry about it, new Metroid. And then you just sit down and continue typing at your computer.
That's right.
All right. Anyway, with that disturbing imagery in everybody's mind, let's wrap up this podcast, shall we?
Yes.
That's good.
So, listeners, I want to thank you for listening to yet another episode of the Koopa Cast. If you want to see more episodes of the Koopa Cast, please go to purenintendo.com/KoopaCast, or you can go on iTunes and search Koopa Cast there. If you have any questions for the Koopa Cast, please email us. podcast@purenintendo.com. Justin Harrison, thank you for joining me on this episode.
Oh, of course.
It was really great having you on.
I hope everybody enjoyed being spoiled.
Yeah.
And for you those listening at home, we'll hopefully see you next time on the next episode of the KoopaCast. See you.
Bye-bye.